spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, Abigail, was written by Harriet Kopp. It is the last in a series of six programs entitled Women of Valor, women whose lives exemplify qualities of greatness.
And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal.
That's a fine-looking flock thou hast there.
Yes, they're mine, 3,000 of them. And their wool will loom, I warrant, the whitest cloth from Maon to the Dead Sea. A man can be proud when he looks upon such riches.
Perhaps grateful, too, to his God, eh, Nabal?
And who art thou who calls me by my name?
I'm a stranger to thee. My name is Abner.
We do not look kindly upon strangers in Maon. I am the wealthiest man in this valley here in the desert, and I, for one, have no intention of sharing the fruits of my labor, my flocks and my vineyards, with the strangers of wandering tribes.
But I'm not from a wandering tribe, Nabal. I'm one of thy kind, one of David's men. We are 600 who have followed David into hiding from the anger of Saul, living in the caves of the desert, shielding him from King Saul's jealous madness.
Thou makest thyself less and less pleasing to me. David hiding? The great David, killer of Goliath and hero of all Israel, skulking in a cave like a mole burrowing in his hole, cloaking his movements with the darkness of night, using his same slingshot to kill a pigeon, or I'll be bound a sheep or goat from my herd. What has happened to the great warrior of Israel, eh?
Good day, my lord. Thou, too, Abner. This is a good day, for I see you finally met each other. It is indeed time, Nabal, that thou hast met the captain of King David's men face to face.
The captain of King David's men. David chose the keen eye of the shepherd, the tensile finger of the harpist, and the heart of a coward.
Upon you both I now turn my back.
What has come over him, Nabal, my lord? Never have I seen him so surly.
What matter? More important, Joachim, how goes the shearing and the weighing in of the sheep's wool?
The best ever.
Ah, this is good news. Call our workers together. I shall share the good tidings with them just as I will share the earnings. There will be greater feasting than ever before for my household and all the hirelings, too.
Did it. Lad, do as our master bids.
Jehoiakim, how dost thou account for the richness of the wool this year?
It's the hand of the Lord and...
Oh, now. That's the kind of milksop answer I expect from my wife Abigail, not from my foreman.
I was not yet finished, Nabal. Hear me out. The hand of the Lord and the hand of David.
Oh, that wretched name again, David. It haunts me like black magic.
It is not black magic, but the truth. David's men have been as a wall, protecting...
Enough. I ask for no protection from him or from his men. I owe him nothing.
Thou art known as a harsh man in the valley, Nabal, but a just one who is as free with his reward as he is with his whip.
Enough! I ask for nothing from David. I am unaware of receiving anything from him. Remember that, Joachim. Oh, here's Jared. Where are my workers, boy?
They are coming, master. They lingered for but a moment to hear a song from David, who has just come into the marketplace.
Joachim, you may tell my workers when they finally assemble that my words seem to be of less importance than the words of David. Tell them, too, that as I waited, my impatience mounted and my pleasure waned. And as my pleasure lessened, so did their share of the profits.
My lord, it's not fair to vent thy displeasure with David on thine own men.
Then let them become David's men if they are dissatisfied. Let them cast their lot in with him, a lowly, unhappy shepherd like themselves. For other than that, he will never be again.
And the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail.
and the woman was of good understanding and of a beautiful form. But the man was churlish and evil in his doing.
Is it thou, my lord Nabal? Returned so soon from Carmel and the shearing? I have been out in the vineyards with my maidens, not expecting thee before dark.
Enough chatter. I'm weary of sound, woman. Hold thy tongue and this fool animal both while I alight. Now fetch me a vessel of wine here in the cool of the shade and see that I'm not disturbed till I call for more.
See, a table has already been laid for thee. Wine and bread, too, for thy hunger. All that needs doing is to fill the goblet.
Abigail, fill the goblet and... To the very top, woman. Nabal can afford to have his cup spill over. I recognize thy plotting, but it'll do thee no good. Such measured pouring will just make me drink later into the night. For I am determined to sit here till I sleep the dreamless sleep of a befogged mind.
Nabal, my lord, do not draw my blessings in wine.
Busy words are like honey, sweet at first taste, but cloying in large doses. Stop buzzing, my queen bee. Turn into a drone instead, for there is much work to be done for the shearing party on the morrow. No king's festive boards must equal Nabal's. We shall see which holds more power over my men. David's words or Nabal's wines? Hey, Abigail.
Did thou see David then at the marketplace, Nabal? Oh, tell me, what is the great David like?
Oh, David! You two know better than a common woman of the marketplace, are ye camp follower?
I know not what I have done to anger thee, but whatever it is, I am truly sorry, Nabal. Has the picking all been done and the baskets full that thou hast time for chatter, Sarah?
Here is thy answer, my lady. Four baskets of figs filled to overbrimming.
Oh, forgive me, Sarah. I am not myself. Thou hast done well. Let me help thee pick over the figs. For only the most succulent ones must go into the cakes tomorrow.
Is the shearing party to be held then? We thought there would be none. We heard rumor among the men that my lord Nabal had left the marketplace in one of his terrible fits of temper.
He was wearied from the heat and the noise. Oh, no, Sarah, that fig is too dry. Being unwell in body made Nabal appear unwell in spirit. He is resting now, and I'm certain will be refreshed when he wakens.
There. We are finished. Two baskets filled with the juiciest figs of the morning's picking.
Oh, but still not enough. Sarah, fetch another basket while I continue picking.
Oh, I will bring it right away.
Oh, there's a beauty. But I can't quite...
That one is out of reach.
Oh!
May I help thee by holding the branch down?
Oh, I thank thee. It was a help.
Hast thou ever wondered why the choicest and most desired things are always outside of reach? The high mountain peaks, the soft clouds, the plumpest figs.
Perhaps the Lord did it so as to teach us to lift up our heads and keep them up so that we may better see his wonders.
When I behold the works of his heavens, the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars which he has ordained, then I ask myself, what is man that God is mindful of him? And the son of man that he thinketh of him.
I know not who thou art, but this I do know. Thou speakest as one of Israel.
That is so.
Then thou art no longer a stranger to me, who is a daughter of Israel. And so may I ask a favor of thee? Would thou perhaps drop down those figs for me nestling there at the top of the tree? For these must be the finest of fig cakes, but for the shearing party tomorrow.
Nabal's?
How didst thou know?
Who does not know that tomorrow evening Nabal shares food and wine with his men?
And the profits of the sheep shearing with all who have helped him.
Not with all. But he turns his back and his gratitude away from those who gave freely of their services to him.
Oh, now I know that Israelite or not, you are a stranger in these parts. Everyone who dwells here in the valley of Maon knows that Nabal may be feared in his anger, but he is trusted in his dealings. And fair in meting out just payment to those who served him.
Now, don't go, please. I fear thy anger more than Nabal's temper, which is legend in the valley.
Thou hast spoken out of turn and out of ignorance.
Come, let us not quarrel about Nabal, who can be of no interest to thee, and who has no interest in me or what I have done to save his flocks.
Oh, thou art mistaken. Nabal is of great interest to me. He is my husband, and all that is said of him is of great concern to me. I pray that thou excuse me. I have much to do.
I am sorry to have offended thee, Abigail. But thou must be she whose wifely virtues are sung by my men.
And thou must be David. And I am indeed disappointed to learn that thou art not a wise man, but a simple one, foolishly taking in wild rumors.
They were not wild rumors. But the words of my trusted Captain Abner, who spoke with Nabal this very morning at the marketplace.
Oh, that explains it. Nabal was not well. He returned from Carmel ill. Surely he cannot be held responsible for the things he said while his head hemorrhaged with fever. But I speak for the honor of my husband and my household when I bid thee send thy men to Nabal tomorrow evening, and they will receive their rightful share when Nabal divides the profits of the wool.
And David chose 10 young men and sent them to the festivities, instructing them to speak as Abigail had directed.
Fetch more wine! The goblets are empty. Never let it be said that the vessels were drained dry at Nabal's house.
My lord, these 10 young men of David's are here insisting on seeing thee.
Move aside, lad. We meet again, Nabal. And 'tis fortunate for thee that we practice the patience and forbearance of our master David.
Jehoiakim, throw them out.
Not until we say the words David has instructed us to say. All hail. And peace be unto thee, and peace be to thy house. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Thy shepherds have been with us. Wherefore, let my young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come on a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David.
Art thou through?
Quite through.
Then I answer with a question. Who is David? And with yet another question, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men of whom I know not whence they are?
We had better be off before our forbearance is tried beyond the breaking point.
Now wait. Tell thy master, David, did thou call him, that I owe him naught for his services. But if he chooses to come crawling to my gate with outstretched hand, I will fill it. For Nabal has never turned a beggar from his door. Tell this to David. And now be off. Wine! Damnation, woman, wine!
My lord, the vessels are again filled to the brim, overflowing.
So I'm afraid it's Nabal. Filled to the brim and overflowing.
I shall have him carried to his couch so that he may sleep undisturbed in peace the remainder of the night.
There'll be no peace this night, I fear, for either him or his entire household.
Come, Jehoiakim, the festivities will be over soon.
But not the wrath of David.
What art thou saying? Quickly.
Just a moment back, David sent messages from his desert cave to claim their just pay from our master, and he flew upon them.
Then I must haste to undo the wrong I have done, for it was I who so advised David. The guilt is mine. Not Nabal's.
Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses.
Go on before me, Jehoiakim. We shall find David. And I will pay Nabal's obligations to him.
Oh, my lady Abigail, I fear what Nabal will do to thee in his wrath when he discovers what thou art doing.
I do not wish to die. But better to die at Nabal's hands than to permit him to dishonor his name and his household while mad with drink.
And let us hurry. The light of dawn will soon be tracing a path up the mountainside for David and his men. And I shall pray that the wine Nabal drank will hold him bound to his couch throughout this dark night, insensate, till we return.
And it was so. As she rode on her donkey and came down by the covert of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. And when Abigail saw David, she made haste and alighted from her animal, and fell before David on her face, and bowed down to the ground.
'Tis not as the last time we met, is it, my lady? Then thou wast reaching high, holding up thy head to see the wonder of the Lord, I think thou said. Now thou art groveling. It is not seemly. Lift up thy head and arise.
Oh, David, my lord. Upon me let the iniquity fall, not upon my household. For it was I who beseeched thee to send thy men to our house, who vouched for their kind reception and left them open to insults of beggary. Then let the guilt fall where it belongs.
Am I to be turned aside by thy words? Thinkest thou that tears can dissolve a fury within me against Nabal? Nay. This night, I have gathered together 400 of my men to see that when I come seeking vengeance at Nabal's door, I do not return empty-handed.
I beg thee, pay these men with the gifts which I have brought thee. And do not thou bring Nabal to judgment, for by his murder will his evil be brought upon thee. Thou hast been sent to fight the battles of the Lord, and for this thou must be kept pure.
Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. Blessed be thou that hast kept me from doing evil this day, even to Nabal. Go up in peace to thy house. Go now. See, I have hearkened to thy voice.
And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things.
He's waking, but his groans and grunts belch forth like thunder before a storm. Perhaps it would be better to come back later when his head and belly both are cleared of wine.
No, I cannot wait. Nabal must know what I have done, for I have dispensed his wealth, his possessions. I acted in his name only because he was at the time unfit to act for himself. But he must not have one waking moment in which he has not dominion over his affairs.
I hear thee, Abigail. Think not that I sleep. My lids but curtain my eyes from that accursed glare of the torches.
'Tis not the torch, but the bright sunlight of the morn, Nabal. The night is past.
How come I to my couch? I recall only the music, the wine, the noise. Ah, yes, it comes back now. The hammering at the door by David's cursed men demanding their portion. Loud though it was, it never equaled the hammering in my poor head at this moment.
Jehoiakim, help thy master up while I smooth his couch and cool his linen. There. 'Tis better now, Nabal.
My limbs are cooled. But inward I grow hot when I recall the gall of David. But I sent them running, a whole pack of curs with their tails between their legs, whining back to their master. Who is David, I asked, and not one dared to answer. And David, brave David, hero of Israel, have either one of ye seen him come to right or wrong? Yes. Well, no more have I.
We have seen David. Both Jehoiakim and I, Nabal. David and 400 of his men on the mountainside. And we heard him saying, God do so unto the enemies of David, and more also, if I leave of all that pertain to Nabal by the morning light so much as one male.
The morning light of dawn has now become the full sun of noon, and here before thine eyes are two males of your household, eh, Abigail? Mark my words. The great David is nothing but a fraud, a coward, a sniveling, weak-kneed shepherd. Oh, my head, my poor...
Jehoiakim, a wet cloth for your master's brow. Nabal, thou must listen to me for a moment. For fevered head or no, I shall not rest till thou knowest all that I have done to save thy household, thy servants, and above all thee, my lord, from the wrath of David.
Say that again. Slowly, mouth each word distinctly. Tell me 'tis but the fuzz of thy tongue that have made me mistake thy words and make mockery of my marriage so that a wife becomes the husband and the protector of the protected...
Ray, calm thyself, my lord, and listen to me. In times of danger, when life is threatened, all is turned into confusion. Fawn turns lion, child turns parent, or woman plays a man's role. What difference? Thou art alive this morning. That is all that matters. And that David's hands are not stained with thy blood. And his men have been paid their portion of the shearing. Oh, see, my Nabal, the blessing of the Lord this day, that all wrong has been righted, all evil turned good.
It is I who determine wrong and right, who weigh evil and good. This house is my kingdom, and here I am the Lord, and my glory do I not share with another.
Nabal, thou blasphemer.
Then let thy God strike me down if I do not this day destroy both him and David. Jehoiakim, help me to rise and give me my sword. Give me my...
And Nabal's heart died within him, and he became a stone.
My lady, 10 days now thou hast sat by Nabal's couch while he has lain there still as death.
But, Sarah, see, he moves.
Oh, thou deceivest thyself. 'Tis but the breeze lightly playing through his beard. Come, thou must rest.
No, I cannot. I must be here should he wake.
He shall not wake again. The evil of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own head.
And yet I am tortured by the thought that when I took upon myself his role of master, 'twas I created havoc and destroyed my husband.
'Tis not so, my lady. The reverse was true. Thou expected destruction of thyself at his hands, but the Lord willed otherwise.
And it came to pass that about 10 days after the Lord smote Nabal, he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead,
blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept back his servants from evil. And the evil doing of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own.
And then David remembered Abigail's words to him on the mountainside.
And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to thee, David, according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee prince over Israel, and when the Lord shall have dealt well with thee, then remember thy handmaid.
So David went to Carmel, to Abigail, to remind her of her prophecy.
And I have come unto thee, Abigail, to take thee to wife.
But I am not free to go, David. For I am bound to Nabal by ties stronger even in death than in life. For though I created not his life, I am the cause of his death. His murderer.
Abigail, be careful that thou doest sin and takest upon thyself the role of the Lord. For it is the Lord who gave Nabal life, and it is the same Lord who took his life from him. Listen, Abigail, to my words. Take heed. Sing praise unto the Lord, O ye his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Thou didst turn for me my mourning into dancing. Thou didst loose my sackcloth and gird me with gladness.
And And Abigail hastened and arose, and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that followed her. And she went with David and became his wife.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Cantor Saul Mizells, Vice President of the Cantor's Assembly of America and Cantor of the Temple on the Heights, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Cantor Mizells.
The moving story of Abigail, biblical woman of valor, to which we have listened today, concludes with the 30th Psalm of King David. For countless generations, the Psalms of David have enriched the liturgy not only of the synagogue, but the houses of worship of nearly every religion. Ever since the singing of the Levites in the Holy Temple, Jewish song has been deeply and inextricably linked with religion. The worship of the Jew without song is inconceivable, and there has evolved a rich and colorful cantorial tradition. It is the dedicated Hazan, the cantor, who gives voice to the soundless songs within the hearts of his congregants. He is the Shaliach Tzibur, the emissary of his people, who must capture within his own song the melody imprisoned within their own spirits. Musically trained and vocally gifted, the true Hazan is, in the words of Rabbi Morris Adler of Detroit, a musical minister of religion, an interpreter, an awakener, a teacher, whose purpose is the strengthening of Jewish devotion and the instilling and reinforcing of the desire to serve God in beauty and holiness. As Vice President of the Cantors Assembly of America, I am privileged to speak for more than 300 cantors who serve in this ancient and sacred calling. Organized in 1947, the Assembly maintains and upholds the highest standards of the traditional musical heritage of the cantor and is dedicated to and vitally concerned with the growth and development of Hazanut in America. One of the major activities of the Cantors Assembly is to stimulate the creation of new liturgical music and develop on the part of the congregant an awareness of the modern musical idiom and an appreciation of the traditional ancient chant. 11 years ago, the Cantors Assembly realized its dream in the establishment by the Theological Seminary of America of the Cantors Institute, a school devoted to the training of young men for the cantorate through intensive musical and Jewish studies. We hope in this way to ensure the continuance of the long golden chain of dedicated servants of God, so that together we may raise our voices with a psalmist and sing, "Let thy graciousness, O Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands."
Thank you, Cantor Mizells. Our eternal life drama today, Abigail, was written by Harriet Kopp and was the last in a series of 6 programs entitled Women of Valor. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Larry Robinson, Freddie Chandler, Mandel Kramer, Alan Manson, Ralph Bell, with Norman Rose as David and Terry Keene as Abigail. The narrator was Bernard Grant. Be with us next week for the Passover of Rembrandt van Rijn by Morton Wishengrad, presented in celebration of the Festival of Passover. This is Howard Reed. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.
Ooh.